Welcome. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Creatives Chat. Join us as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. We shall begin our show now.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by...
We Are Storically, Conscious Brand Apparel.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Creatives Chat. I'm Rusty.
I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm all set for a great show. Who have we got lined up?
Ooh, I am incredibly excited, Rusty. We have the amazingly talented Darius Woolrich. He's a singer-songwriter, amazing voice, amazing jazz pianist. He's a teacher. He's a healer. He's an overall just dope spiritual being. So let's get him on the show.
I saw him years ago at the Hard Rock Cafe when he was in the Michael versus Prince band, and he was singing both Michael's part and Prince's part. The guy is phenomenal.
Yo, oh, I can't wait, man. Because if those that don't know, he's also the piano player for Diggable Planets.
Ooh.
So it's like, right. Yo, the classics, like, let's get it.
Without further ado, everybody, meet Darius.
Oh, Darius, I'm so excited to have you on, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. Absolutely.
Well, let's just get right into it, man, because I know you're personally, I love every album. I've been diving deep into, like, the discography and just listening to all your different works. For those of you that don't know, all of our listeners, you're the piano player for Diggable Planets. Now, that's just like, come on, let's be real. If you don't know them, let's just think of that bass line. And then if you don't know the line, it's like, we beat a rap, what key beat a lock? That should really spark your gears. So
it's good stuff.
And the thing that's really funny about this is I actually know your face. I was like, when Rusty were talking about who we're going to have on this week, I was like, I looked you up. I was like, I know him. And then I remembered, I was like, oh, I remember watching the KEXP when you guys were in Iceland. And he was just Yeah. And then Butterfly was like, come on, D, set it up. And I was like, oh, that's Darius. That's Darius.
That's awesome. Oh, wow. What a fun time. Yeah.
Well, I mean, how's your international experience been with music?
Really just amazing. It's such a trip to festivals are, to me, mind blowing. Just because it's amazing. Like, there's like usually like 10 of us, there's the people that play, and then there's like a manager or something. It's like, it is amazing The amount of money people have to fly us to these remote locations for like one show. Like we would like maybe fly for like 10 hours to play for 1 hour. And they'll put us up, and, it's like, whoa. But it's also amazing, and even like I remember we were like, I don't know where we were in the US though. We were just at a show. We had a show in like, I think, Boston. And then we got like some last minute booking at some festival in Atlanta. So it was such a trip. They flew us down. That's like 9-10 people. This plane tickets, hotel accommodations for us to play for 30 minutes and literally rushed us off. Like, wow. I mean, it was fun and it was beautiful, but sometimes it's staggering. Like, wow. Some people say there's not money in music, but somebody's got some money. Like, oh my God, this is such a trip. Like, we just literally got flown down here to play for 30 minutes.
So and then crazy. Now you got a dope vacation out of it, because if you're in Atlanta, like,
and that show is like, it was like us and I feel bad because he was really great. I haven't really heard of him, but then he was really great. I'm just drawing a blank. But then it was like Erykah Badu played like right after him. Like, she was the headliner. Like, they flew us up for 30 minutes. It was so great, though. So fun, so accommodating. They were really nice to us, which just blows my mind. Same thing, like being flown to Roskilde Denmark to play for like 1 hour. Like, really? Like, the trip was almost 2 days, you know? I mean, it felt like it. It wasn't that. I'm exaggerating, but that's what it feels like. So all of them are positive. The one that blew my mind, just because of how well they had treated us, was when we went to Russia. We had 3 shows in Russia. Oh, and wow. That was, they really showed out. I think they were trying to show out because of maybe what was going on in America politically or whatever. Yeah. But like, I had never gotten fed so much, so often. I was like, we're going to lunch? We're going to dinner? Or didn't we just have lunch? It was so great. They really treated us really great. So I've had I really can't think of a super, I can't think of a bad experience that I've had with Digable Plants. I mean, there's definitely some challenges. I mean, touring sounds glamorous, but maybe the shows sometimes are. But in between, it's work. It's work. It's work.
Busing and getting everyone on the flight, getting everyone to and from the hotels. Like.
Yeah, making sure your gear didn't get lost. All that stuff. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the coolest aspect when you're traveling with like a big band too, though, is what are some of the big like inspiration moments been like just writing music and just kind of like traveling and seeing the different people and cultures, and how has that really impacted your music? Because you, like, first off, for all of our listeners, like, you have so many genres that you cover and all of them are fire. Like, every song that I've heard from yours is a banger. I'm just like, there you go. Turn this up.
Yeah. I mean, it's very inspiring and humbling, you know, just to go from place to place and be able to interface with that community's musicians, be appreciated by them and see what they're up to, that, you know, since they're the there's the local scene, like, you know, here, and there's an idea, it spawned an idea of mine, like, you know, like, there should be like an Anthony Bourdain style show for music, you know, like, let's go into communities and like check out what the local musical heroes are doing that you wouldn't know unless you were living there, maybe, you know, or, you know, just maybe a little bit outside. It's like, so, you know, I've been, you know, blown away seeing what some people in their local scenes out in different countries are doing, and like, why haven't I heard of this? This is great. You know, this is amazing. Like, the last time we were, funny, it's so odd, but the last time we were traveling was late 2019, right as the fires in Australia were starting. We played in Australia, like, literally in the middle of December when some fires were starting. And but the local musicians in Sydney, and we played Sydney, Perth, and then we played Melbourne, and the musicians there were just like on fire to me, like, wow, like, so good. Like, man, it's like, how I like definitely made new Spotify lists. Like, what's going on? Like, how come, you know, like, it's so great. So it is very inspiring. It's good to see that, you know, creativity around the world is alive and well. And, you know, there's, you know, if you're looking, you know, it's findable, you know.
Right. And that's like, there's no better time than really like with everything going on with the lockdowns to really tap back into those creative drives, you know? So for yourself, what have been some projects that you've been kind of working on during this whole Rona?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I've just kind of gotten back to trying to be creative, like, on my own, you know, learning Logic. You know, I used to be a big Reason head, and I'm still a Reason as a software to make music.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to learn a little bit of all of them. So I was like, oh, you know, I've spent years on Reason and I'm not abandoning it, but, you know, I own a Mac. Let's see what Logic's talking about. So for the last couple of years, I've been, you know, doing that, and it has gotten me to release a record pretty soon. So, I'll be releasing a single pretty soon. I'm thinking on October 19th, I'll have a song called Easy to Forget coming out that me and Vitamin D worked on. I had some of my friends, some of my friends play on it. Thaddeus Turner, who's the musical director for Digable Planets, and his brother playing bass as well on this song. in particular that's coming out October 19th. Yep. And then the whole album called Stay Here With Me will drop December 26th, which is my birthday. October 19th, the significance of that is my mother's birthday. So, I've really taken the time to get creative, and these things that have been sitting in the hard drive for the last 6-7 years, like, okay, well, let's get them out into the world. I didn't mean for it to take so long. So it was, you know, like this lockdown has actually been like creatively, it's been a good time for me to just be grounded, because I didn't realize how much I was running around, you know, chasing money or chasing, you know, it's like, okay, I teach at all these places and I'm running around town to this and that. And it's like, whoo, when it had to stop, it was like, oh, I didn't realize that I was unhappy. You know, like, it's just way better being grounded. Like, I was being grounded. And, you know, at first I thought teaching from Zoom might be a drag, but it's like, man, this is like, there's just more peace when I'm not ripping and running. And like, even the money, even when I couldn't play live, I was like, but I was saving so much in gas money, not running around. Like, jeez. So, I've definitely, this time has been a centering, you know, I'm meditating a lot more consistently and just trying to, just being creative and loving myself more.
And simply being. And I think that's something that we get so caught up in is like, you know, when we're all about that action, it's like, yes, there's a point of life where we need to be in that kind of contracted state. But if we're not doing the relaxing, it's like our lungs, like we're not breathing. We're not actually going to be able to live. So when you have that chance just to take a break and take a breath and just marinate now, it's so important. I'm like, the moment you said meditation, you had me sold. I was like, this is one of my awesome beings, you could say, best people on the planet right there. Like, you recognize that importance.
Yes. I mean, it gets really deep. Like, you know, I was trying to compare how, you know, the groundedness that I'm feeling that I, you know, am taking advantage of in this slowdown or whatever, this just transformation that we're going through. And,
transformation.
Yeah, it's a big. I mean, I really think this is all part of this Age of Aquarius stuff. You know, like, hey,
oh yeah, without a doubt,
there's stuff that's been going a specific way for a while. It's time for it to change. You know, but it's such a trip to be grounded and realize, like, the ripping and running. How much of there was such desperation. It felt like. And there's just such desperation in the chase and not there yet. I'm almost there. And having a grounded, being a little bit more grounded and happy where I am, wherever I am, instead of needing to get to that next spot. It's like your decisions are different.
Right. You know?
Decisions made under duress are different than decisions you make while grounded.
Well, it's because it goes into that reaction versus a response. And when you're so focused on not marinating in the moment of right now, and you're always kind of just trying to stay afloat, you're not really just embracing where you're at. And I think that's the thing right there, where it's like you hit the nail on the head earlier, where it's, you know, we are in this transformational period, and if people aren't aware of that themselves, you know, this really has been a blessing in disguise for a lot of people, because life never gives us what we want. It gives us what we need. Right. So it's that moment for us just to simply have a forced kind of, hey, chill out, stop, just relax.
Yeah.
And those that are kind of on that creative vibe and are more like, I guess you'd say, spiritually attuned, it's that moment to really just stop those wheels from spinning and just, I've been doing that. Oh, wow. You know how many recognitions and unfoldments there's been going on this time. It's crazy.
Yes, absolutely. That is exactly how I was feeling. Like, oh my God, I was missing the sanctity of my home. I mean, it's not much, but it's like, oh my God, this is me though. You know, this is me. You know, so yeah, I've been definitely recharging in many areas that were, I didn't even know were depleted. You know, some of my energy, I had no idea was so depleted and that I was unhappy. You know, I thought I was out there getting it, but I was like, no, you were unhappy. You know, you were unhappy clawing at, I don't know, clawing at stuff, you know, that was that, you know, I found a new worth, a deeper worth for myself and just, you know, my life and where to be coming from and some yeah. more stillness, you know, which yeah. I thought I was doing, but you know, it's a trip to have it be rebuilt. No, that's not what you were doing. That's not what you were doing.
Right. Well, it's the concept that I always find is really interesting about this is in terms of like, you're a teacher, you know, you teach jazz mm-hmm. piano for the listeners, and I downloaded your free little giveaway because I'm teaching myself
super cool.
like teaching myself piano a little bit more, so I actually know what I'm doing versus just going by the flow.
Nice. Thank you.
I'm curious in the sense of like the stillness, how has it changed the way, because you've been kind of like reteaching yourself things, how has it helped you kind of like transition that into actually like teaching others?
Yes. Well, definitely they're getting the benefit. You know, there's with the stillness and the groundedness comes at patience and the ability to like really be over there with others, because you're not, because I'm not necessarily so all over the place myself. You know, it's like I can take time and tell others to take their time and remind my students that this is supposed to be fun. Do not use this as another source of stress. Don't do it. If it starts to be that, I tell them to stop. Don't play. It's called playing piano. Not stressing piano, not working piano. It's playing. If it gets fun, go do something else.
Yeah, that stuff that's not fun,
you're gonna stop doing it. I mean, I've definitely, as a musician, you know, I got into this because music is fun. But you know, I made it my job, and I had this love hate thing. You know, about it's like, wow, I got into this. This was, you know, where I was hating it sometimes. It's like, well, I just have to reconnect to that. I'm doing this as a form of expression that is therapeutic for me and that is fun. And, you know, I wasn't telling my students that before this slowdown so much. You know, I got back to that. I was like, oh my God, yeah. Don't practice if it's like making you mad or frustrated or making you think bad things about yourself, like you're not smart enough or I can't do this. Stop. Let this be fun, you know? So. Yeah. They're definitely reaping the benefits, my students. This is fun. Ooh. Take your time. If it's too hard, cut it up into smaller chunks. Make it fun. Take it bite size, you know? And
That's super important, because when you think about the concept of life itself, how many people have taken this game, this playground that we've been given, this opportunity, this gift of life, and turn it into something that it's just like an arduous journey that everything's against you and it's just such a painful experience. Like, when did we stop having fun? Like, when did we stop having fun in the society? Yes.
Yeah. And we have to remind ourselves, like even us that know, like, you know, even I've, you know, done, you know, workshops and self, you know, like, you know, really working on my inner self. And I have to remind myself, like there's hardly, it is definitely, it can seem a little bit lonely, because it seems like the world outside, at least like pop culture, is not pulling for quiet wholeness.
Right.
You know, let's sit down and just be. Then it's not pulling for that. It's not, those aren't the messages we're giving. Get out there, get something. If you're not, what are you doing? You're lazy, you know. I have to remind myself, don't fall for that.
It's crazy, because I think that's like the energetic component to it as well. Because you think of, I mean, so I have like 10 years in childcare education and like child development and teaching classes after school from like 4 to 16-year-olds. And the one thing that I've noticed before, like I went to college and after, was there was such a crazy switch of like failure and success and, you know, being really critically disciplined for failure. And, you know, and some kids, even then, it's like they made it so crazy that you weren't even allowed to fail, you know. And it's like when you have those types of aspects and gradings and just how they push the test and you have to get in this upper echelon or you're doing really bad, you know, I started seeing kids having legitimate like panic attacks, anxiety attacks in third grade, because I remember, I don't know if you remember like those fitness tests everyone had to do in PE, where it's like, do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, go run some laps. they were free, like having full blown like breakdowns because of that. And it's like, wow. Yo, you're a kid. Like you're in third, you're not even 10. You're not even double digits yet. And you're already stressing like your 50s, like 60s.
Yeah, exactly. Can't even spell stress. Can't even spell stress.
Right?
Like, come on.
And I think that just like it cascades to like everything else. Because you think like what you were saying about pop culture, like there's such this false sense of like what it is to be a human being and a successful person. And it's like, we took all the fun out of experience and just sucked all the life out of just loving your life and loving yourself. So, it's been beautiful to see that type of transition on all fronts with people being able to recognize that and tap back in. And again, like Rona.
Rona, wow. I mean, I feel very fortunate, you know, no one that I know that I've been really close to has had anything really awful health-wise happening. People that are around me are, you know, being really safe and still, you know, how do you be safe and still not be ruled by fear?
Ooh, it's like, that's a deep one.
Because, you know, whatever you're sitting there worrying about, that's what you're attracting to yourself. So, you know, like, I want to be living in fear. Like, I want to still enjoy life. And, well, this is just a new way of looking at it that we weren't, in a way, we weren't looking at it before. So, I don't wish any of the sickness on anyone, whatever this thing is, Rona. But the things that have had us come home, so to speak, on multiple levels. Yeah, no, it's good. You know, pay attention to, you know, like how, you know, sitting at home to be able to really witness, you know, how awful sometimes humans can be to one another and like be able to, you know, make some statements about that and have some things move in that area that have never moved in our lifetimes, or have it moved in the way that they seem to be moving now. You know, I mean, who knows where it's going to end up? I mean, like I said, I think this is definitely some Age of Aquarius stuff happening. Yeah. You know, Aquarius is the humanitarian, so I think, you know, we're just, the attention to that is front and center now. You know,
Well, people have been confronted with themselves for the first time, largely. You can't get caught up in the distractions of kind of the doing. You're now forced to really reflect and look at the beingness of yourself and kind of how things are operating internally. And, you know, some things that really stuck out in what you were just saying to me is like that law of attraction and that law of inertia. You know, it's like I like to see and say that we're each god and goddesses of creation and manifestation. Mm-hmm. And like whatever's going on internally is going to, it's literally going to be manifested outside externally. Uh-huh. And I think that's one of the things that's been really, I mean, I always say discouraging. And I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, it's sad to me just because I know the potential of what the human experience can be, but like people that lack this inner development and willingness and courage to really, and ultimately self-love to look within and question themselves. Like it's been a really apparent facet of society for those that have been lacking it in terms of not being able to really handle the quote unquote isolation. Like I love my hermit time. I need my hermit time. Like, and I also need that immersion in nature time, just away from everything. And so it's one of those things that I find is really kind of, you know, this is the time for people to really tap into that higher power and that higher self within.
So we can come together better than we have been.
Right. Well, so we can kind of emerge ourselves, come out of this cave of our own isolation and just like build a better society and build that, you know, the humanity, you know, that
we
know they can exist. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I am incredibly curious about your work with, now, Rusty and I, we were all talking about this in the green room, but your work with Landmark Education and this kind of like internal work and self-mastery kind of aspect. So I know a little bit, but why don't you tell our listeners, because I'm sure this is the first time a lot of them are hearing about this.
Well, I mean, Landmark Education, I mean, good Lord. I mean, I've been participating with them off and on since like 1994. You know.
Oh wow.
I would just their flagship or their entry level program is called the Landmark Forum. I think, and Russ is a graduate of that as well. And it's really just this 3-day and an evening inquiry on exactly what we were talking, some of the things that we were talking about, like what is no one telling you about what it is to be human? You know, like, you know, what is it to, you know, to really be human? And I guess, I'm trying to figure out, like, well, in 94, when I did, I was just graduating from Cornish College of the Arts. I had got a degree in jazz piano, and doing the Landmark Forum then made me not be afraid of the decision I had made to become a musician, you know, because everyone's like, oh my God, you're going to be starving artists. And hey, you know, I've been that and have not been that too, you know, like I've had money and then like, oh my God, where's the next thing coming from? Like, and I've been right. up and down, but doing the Landmark Forum just took a lot of the fear out, just where I could really commit to it and say this, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm not going to have a back door, you know, because if I had a back door, I would use it. Just, let's just go full steam ahead. It just gave me that courage to do that, you know,
at
that age. I was 20, 23, 24. It was definitely the jet propulsion that had me go out and really look for what it meant to be a musician and, you know, ultimately start making records and stuff like that. So,
that's different.
I've done a bunch of programs. I would say, you know, without kind of being a commercial, the Landmark Forum is just, it's just great because, you know, you'll hear some of us that have been doing it for a while say that, you know, what you get out of the Landmark Forum is nothing, but
some Buddha shit.
Yeah. But less like you've never had nothing before. You've like, you know, your life gives you these things, like, you know, your heart gets broken and like, oh, I'll never date this person, this type of person again, or I'll never speak out like that or whatever, because this happened. And it's like, you've got this chalkboard of these things you'll never do. And, you know, to us, it's like, oh, that's kind of being smart, you know, like, well, I'm learning these lessons, so let's not do that anymore. It's like, but it's just counter, like you said, it's just counter to what we really tell our children when they're born. You can do and be anything. And somehow, as we get older and adults, it's like that field of what we can be and how we can express gets more narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow because of these things we've learned about life, you know. So the Landmark Forum, I think in 3 days in the evening, gives you this opportunity to like take a look at what you've been writing on your board and give you like an eraser. Oh, like I just made this stuff up when that happened and said this about life. And then I lived like that was the truth for the rest of my life. Like, oh, that was just something I said when I was 4. Oh my God, that's present right now. I said something like a 4-year-old yesterday. You know, like, but you're not, it's a lot of times we're not even listening to ourselves. It's like, you know, the Landmark Forum is definitely that, like, just like, you know, realize your board is full of stuff. That's why it's so hard to write in new stuff.
It gives you that pivot. So,
yeah, it gives you like, well,
opportunity and the loop.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it's just like here's an eraser. Let's just erase the board, and then now what would you do?
Right.
Now that you have room to create, what would you create? You
know. That's and I could see how that could be almost. I mean, that type of freedom can almost be paralyzing for how a lot of people have been conditioned nowadays to always be like told what to do. This is how you should do things. This is what it is. And I feel like we kind of. Educational system doesn't really help you in that regards, where it's like, always listen to the authority figure, always do what they say. And it's like, but you don't have a space to question it. How do you ever question yourself?
Yeah. 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 I know. It's a deep one. It's a deep one. It's pretty, it's rich. It keeps giving. It's like, I know we, when you're in a program like that, especially when you're in a room of like maybe 80 to 100 other people also on that journey, you know, like when people will start to stand up and they'll talk about their lives and then they'll be like, oh yeah, that happened to me. And it's like, you will also have whatever breakthrough that they're having. You know, like, it's such a trip to just, you know, to really get how much we need each other and how much communication with each other transforms us.
Ooh.
I mean, ooh. Such a trip.
That's a line right there.
It's
beautiful the way you said that too, because I think that's one of the things that, you know, personally I experience it. I try to always tell people, it's like, don't call me like a teacher or a guru or anything like that. Like I heal, but it's also a mutual healing. Cause you know, when we're in the flow, when we're having these types of conversations, we're exchanging pieces of our puzzle. So it's like, when I get it, I'm just like, oh, dope. That completes my image a little bit better. And it's vice versa. So it's like, it's this mutual process. And I think that's the one thing that I really hope that when we come out of this kind of like the massive dark night of the soul for humanity right now, that everyone comes back with this being able to not stigmatize suffering and stigmatize pain. Cause like mental health is like the most detrimental facets for our society right now and how much we stigmatize it. But it's something that it's like, yo, we all suffer from our own creation of the mind and like the past pains of the heart. And when we get on this type of a level and have these types of conversations, I just, again, I always hope it inspires people to really just level up and like what you said, like erase some of that stuff on the chalkboard, like
get it
detached.
Just wonder, yeah, and yeah, wonder why there's no room to create, wonder why there's no room for something new, why you can't think of anything new. And at the same time, like you said, it's like people get really confronted when, you know, if you've been carrying around this thing for a while, you've based who you are about around you carrying this thing. It's like, it is such a trip to have that thing. Well, oh, I have a choice. I can put this down now. And then it's like, well, then without that, who am I?
Best question there is.
Who am I? Who am I? I'm like, oh my God, now that I don't have this, all my whole thing was about this thing that I was either complaining about or wishing was different, and I was working on this problem. Oh, what if it just disappeared? Like that, it is confronting. Like, oh my God, I don't even know who I am now. You know? And there's this opportunity to create, right? You know.
I love that though, and I think like it's the coolest way. I haven't heard it said like that. It's like that opportunity to create you, to really discover you. And I think that's one of the things that it comes back to that fear concept. When we get so caught up in fear, like society doesn't help that, you know, the expectations and assumptions of what people should be, is that we create this giant, it's like, I always like to akin it to those movies where you see like this epic shadow with all these gnarly monster voices and they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then they turn around, it's like a mouse with a leaf. And they're like, oh, I'm not actually scared of that.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of our problems, thankfully, are actually like that, but are not lived or experienced like that. Like it is like, you right. know, like that fight or flight thing from probably from when, if you went outside, you'd be eaten by an animal or a dinosaur, that flight or flight. But, you know, we're having that fight or flight response in conversations.
Right.
Where no one's holding any weapons or really threatening our life, but we're having those sweats and, oh, I'm not going to say that to this person, like it's going to kill them or it's going to kill you. You know, it really is a real part of being human now. Like that fight or flight response is in areas it doesn't belong.
Oh, I love that. And I think the thing is, we normalize it with words like triggered. Or, you know, or like trolling or all these other things. If it's like, dude, all they are is projecting their insecurities on you because you threaten them in some way, shape, or form, but now they're fighting, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, I'm curious in terms of like this type of kind of self-creation and self-mastery, what do you feel like is kind of the next step for each person to kind of like bring in this age of Aquarius, bring in this new era of transformation and healing? Like if they have already done like that first search of like, who am I? Like, what do I really want? How would you guide people? Loaded question.
How would I guide people? You know, I would go back to play and have fun. Ooh. Play and have fun, rest. I follow this Instagram account called The Nap Ministry, which is just so good. Like, you know, you don't need to earn rest. It's your birthright. Like, you know, you're more than enough. The systems that you're in are trash, you know, like rest. What? If you want to create a new world, you're not going to do it stressed. You're not going to do it tired and chasing and grinding. You're going to do it from a place of groundedness. Rest. The new world is coming. You're part of the creating it. Rest. Take a nap. Get out of this capitalist money grab, winners and losers. It has to be a winner. It has to be a loser. Like,
right?
We can all win. And we're not going to do it while we're stressed and serving that system at the same time. Rest. We need to create something new. Rest. So.
Right? And I think that's the, you hit the nail on the head, yo. It's like, it's your birthright to enjoy this experience. And I feel like, again, because you're that corporate oligarchy, changing up that 9 to 5, you know, really detaching us and lifting us off the ground, you could say, away from like our roots. It's fascinating just to see like just those simple and subtle switches are just like, you know, getting better sleep, taking a nap, just, you know, maybe stop working when you're feeling stressed and go play something, you know, and just to see how much your mind and body just feel like rejuvenated and lighter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The nap mystery is big on rest. Rest is a form of resistance and protest. It's like, sit down, sit down, stop grinding. That's just keeping that machine going. That you complain about, that's making you tired, that's making you age faster, that's making you treat people crappy, that's making you treat people crappy. Lay down. Stop. Yeah, so I would say have fun and rest, and have humans be important. Have humans be important. That's really gets lost.
Well, I'm curious too, because you mentioned you had a daughter, and I know in like my teaching experience and just how I see things and like to teach stuff is, you know, we pass on that. We pass on our physical genetic information, you know, to the children, to the next generations, but we also pass on that emotional and mental stuff. So like raising a child in this environment, how has it been just kind of like really giving them the tools to be self-empowered and just like self-loving, considering there's way more hostility than like I feel like ever before?
You know, for my daughter, her name is Luna. She's she's 12, and I guess I just want to make it that she feels comfortable being whoever she is. You know, like, and that she can talk to me about just about anything. I'll joke with her about, you know, whatever, you know, like things she's talking about with her friends, or even things that I maybe that I think was going on for me around that age.
Yeah.
Just to take some of the charges of ooh, that's bad, or, you know, or I shouldn't talk about that, or I shouldn't be that way. Like, no, you can be whatever way, you know, and you have someone in your life who wants you to be that way. Like, if you're gonna like mess up something or make mistakes, do it while someone's still calling you for dinner. Like, someone that you know, this is the time to make those mistakes. Like, you know, because we'll definitely help you clean it up. Like, you know, because I don't know, it just flies in the face of, you know, such judgmental parenting, and, you know, I want my child to be perfect, and no, just let's hang out. Let's, like, we got this world to, you know, to make whatever we want to make out of it. And let's have fun. Let's relax. Let's not have this be stressful. You know, that's kind of that's like my little motto, I guess. Let's not have this Like you're saying, we have this whole planet. This could be a paradise instead of some sort of dystopia. You know,
this could be
a paradise. You know, and it really starts in our minds. It really does.
Yeah. Well, because that's the first place that starts the projection. It's just like whatever comes is like happening in here, and like whether you're misperceiving something or mishearing someone, it's like if you're not going to ask a question to confirm your knowing, then what are you doing? Yeah. Like, you're just acting a fool in my eyes. But it's, we got to dance our dance till we know, right?
Yeah. so like I said, I try to make light of things that might be heavy for other parents. And, you know, I do run the risk sometimes of being too nonchalant. you know, but I mean, like I said, I just, that's perception. Some of my people's perception of me, I run that risk of, but you know, whatever messes I make, I try to clean them up, you know,
I love how you said that. Like, if you're going to make a mistake, do it with someone still calling you for dinner. Like, cause that's kind of how my life went, like a lot of mistakes in those early years. And it's kind of put me on that trajectory of really just like self-resilience, independence, and really just kind of knowing myself. And I think that's kind of the thing that's always really sad when you see parents try to make mini-me's and like force children into this mold. Cause we're seeing that manifest right now of all these people that can't handle that time of just being with themselves. Cause it's like that fear, that fight or flight response, like how are they going to go in life?
Yeah. And it could be, you know, me being this way now, it could be, but it most definitely was. I mean, I grew up in a very, very strict, I wouldn't say strict, but like
that's very old school. That's how we call it. That's what I was raised in.
So I was definitely sheltered. In my own opinion, I was sheltered early on and, you know, didn't know that. I mean, it took me a while to realize that, you know, oh, I wasn't really able to, you know, color outside of the lines. Like, I didn't even know there was an outside of the lines for a good long time, you know, like, I think it's so funny being a musician now, because I was 9 years old before I was really exposed to non-gospel music.
Really?
You know, like in our house was just gospel records, which is some beautiful, gorgeous music, and it was definitely gave me a foundation that I appreciate for my ears.
In your beautiful voice.
thanks. But you know, it was like, you know, I was nine before it's like, oh, this is R&B. Oh my God, this is amazing.
This is my jam.
I remember I have this super funny memory. I spent the night at my two aunties' apartment. They had moved out from my grandma's house. My mom is one of nine children. I'm an only child. So I spent the night at my two aunties' house, and you know, like in the house is mainly, you know, it's my grandma's house. So she's very, you know, a devout Christian, you know, like, and not some sort of authoritarian either. She was like very gracious, just like a really beautiful human that this is the way I believe and you get to do what you want, you know, but if you ask me, I'm going to give you my opinion,
right?
But I'm not going to like interject it if you don't ask me. That's, you know, that's rare, you know, like that's
grace,
you know?
Right there.
Someone that really could be self-righteous or over righteous, you know, but she was not that, you know. I didn't, you know, she's my grandma, but so I didn't experience her like that. And, you know, other people experienced her that way as well, but digressing. So I'm at my two aunties' house, and they must have left for the store and left me asleep. And I woke up and I was like, you know, I wasn't scared. So I know, you know, they're going to come back. But, you know, I woke up and got into their record collection. Since we weren't at grandma's house, I got into their record collection, and I see this guy in a diaper climbing out of a spaceship on the cover of a Parliament record. Oh my God, what am I, like seven? And I put the record on, and it was like the best thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was like, oh my God, I was having so much fun that I got afraid. And I took the record off and went back to sleep like I was going to get in trouble. It was just too good.
Yo, that's so fascinating. That's the kid response to, though, just like outside the lines of what it creates, that reaction. Like,
what have I done? Oh my God. That's hilarious. So, I mean, I think a part of me raising my daughter with kind of like a way more relaxed and just like, let's let it all hang out. I want to know who you are. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of me that didn't get to be expressed in that environment, you know, and I did grow up with opinions different from that. and felt like that I couldn't talk to anyone about it without seeming like I was a heretic or something, you know.
Blasphemer.
Yes, I mean, and don't get it twisted. You know, I wasn't like, you know, abused or anything or like, you know, in fear, but it's like I definitely had some things to say about that culture at the time that I felt like I really couldn't say. Like that's going to completely meet with a bunch of opposition or you should think that way or so.
I feel that.
Yeah, and I you know, as an older human, I mean, I didn't take responsibility for that. You know, I mean, that's, like I said, it's just the systems within what people grew up with, like what they were thinking is right. I totally get every single, like my mother and my grandmother, they love me to pieces, you know. They love me, and they were literally giving me the best that they thought they had to offer, you know.
Ooh.
That was pure love, you know, as far as they knew. But, you know,
it was that capacity of their love and their understanding. I think that's a fascinating thing, like seeing the different generations. Cause, you know, my eldest brother, you know, born like the 70s, and you have me like, you know, like 30 years apart, like some odd like that and some change, you know, but it's like, or 20 years apart now, I think about it. So it's or less than that, actually. I don't want to make him seem too old, but like,
I was aware that there would be no math.
It's like, ugh. But it's one of those things now where I'm thinking about it, and it's just like, I think what you said earlier really is important, because it's that aspect of communication and just being able to feel that you are in a safer space or an open environment where your opinion and your thoughts and like your internal stuff isn't going to be received in a conflicting or combative manner. And I think that's something that's so important, like, because we look at everything going on right now, how many people can't even speak their truth without getting just bashed? How many people are really trying to express themselves without it being like a warring situation? It's like, to heal this place and to heal ourselves, like, it's love, man. It's love.
Yeah.
It has to be love.
Yeah. Right.
Like, unconditional love. Just like, I want you to express yourself and I'm going to hear it. Even if I don't agree with it, I'm still going to listen to you. And then I'm going to share my opinion, and then we can talk and build a bridge. Right.
Yeah. Something like that. Yes. Yes. I love that. Yeah. And that's totally the world that I want my daughter to have exist. And I want her to trust herself. Like, I wanted to, like, she's going to have her own thoughts, and I wanted her to be able to trust her own thoughts. Like, I definitely second guessed a lot.
Same, man.
Often just second guessed, like, this is what I think, but this is how it's working for these people. And they say that this is how it really should be. And then, but like, I'm thinking different though. But like, so there was a lot of self-doubt, you know, and not really a place to really lay it out there for someone to really like massage it into something that I could trust, you know, like, I don't know, you know. So it's even taken a lot, you know, it's taken a while to even recognize that that's what that was. That so some of those sort of lack of self-trust that, you know. But,
well, it's funny you say that, the self-trust, because I always find that like a common thread that I feel like almost, I want to say every person has to deal with it at some like varying degree, but it's lack of self-worth. And it comes with that, like, you don't trust yourself in a certain ways. Because I know for myself, in a lot of ways, you know, I guess you would say I've always been pretty boastful about my opinions, and it's been met with very combative forces in a lot of my upbringing. But it's one of those things where I know that it caused me to always kind of question things, and it kind of did dissolve some relationships that have had to get rebuilt and established in a different level. Because, like, when you don't feel like your voice is valued, when you don't feel like your opinion's heard or your perspective's like understood, it causes so much inner dwelling and rumination that if you're not really rooted in something, you know, more pure, like a creative expression or like a sport, really a form of meditation, as I like to call it, then you just kind of get lost by the wayside. And that's when, like, I feel like we get all this like mental health issues and all this kind of like the darker aspects of life that come up. So you're doing the work, man, passing that beautiful torch of love.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Ultimately, you know, I just try to, I don't know. I want her to express what she's got going on for her, and not feel like that I'm trying to change that. That I really just want to hear, you know, just so, you know, like, I don't want to wag the finger at her, you know. It's just, you know.
Well, just being able to have that relationship and being able to actually have that, like, that vulnerability for that opportunity to heal, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, I can't remember what it was like to be a teenager. Like, I can't imagine.
Nothing, you know, like ever now.
Right. And now, like, wow, you know, like all of a sudden she's having to do all classes on Zoom. And I mean, my daughter's kind of a homebody though. She likes, you know,
chilling
her time. Yeah. She likes chilling. She's, yeah, you know, she's one of those kids for me that trips me out. I used to get excited always about going out to dinner. It was always better. It's not so for my daughter. She's like, you know, like, that's far. Where are we going? Why? No, let's bring it back home. I mean, I've definitely grown to appreciate that. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so not how I was like trying to let's go to McDonald's and let's go to that. I was like, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
My daughter's like, no. That's too far. Let's what's close and what can we cook it here? I'm like, okay, cool. It works for me too.
That's awesome. And I think it's cool when you think about it, like being able to pass that self-resilience and kind of like that independence to, again, like ultimately, like we say, like trust ourselves and really have that courage to speak your mind. But it's like just really just self-appreciation. That's so important nowadays. And like what you were saying earlier, it's like self-love in that sense of really taking a break and a pause to reevaluate things if you're really playing and loving life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Have it be important to feel good.
Like, I think it's really interesting, like that reaction you had to listening to the record is that it was like the
parents, right.
Like, this is too much fun.
Right, exactly. I know, isn't that is such a weird thing. I mean, I'm glad to notice that, you know, in the last last years in my life, been able to like see that, oh, I have some caps on how great life could be, you know.
Self-imposed, like,
yeah, it's time to take the caps off. Let us get scared about how good it is. Let's get scared, but not stop. You know, I would, you know, before I would stop, like, oh my God, this is too great. I gotta go, you know, I gotta go do penance or something. it is good to be aware that, you know, that's what the universe wants us to do, is feel great and enjoy this experience and have others feel great.
Right? Well, you are life itself. And that's the thing that I feel like when we get to this point where we somehow like take our universal connection and bring it to this, like confining it with this form and just recognize it's just you experiencing this. It's just you and you. I feel like that's when like we're wagging the finger at ourselves internally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I do. Yes, there's so much more freedom to be had. I mean, like, yeah, there just is.
Well, like, how do people tell themselves, like, oh, I can't do that? It's like, why? Like, right. Oh, I can't. I wish I could go on things like that. I wish I could go do trips like that. It's like, what do you mean you wish? Why not?
Why not? What's stopping you? Yeah.
Mostly the divine question.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, and a kind of all-encompassing answer, but not like getting into the nitty-gritty of it, is most, you know, all stuff from the past. And mostly stuff that we were born into and didn't create.
Right.
You know, it's just been sitting there, you know, that's just there when we got here, about what we can and can't do. It's
those conditions.
It's great it's great to have things like the landmark form or meditation that gets you in touch with that creative, or even the arts that gets you in touch with that. You're creating this moment by moment. You know, sure, you can sail and, you know, on what was here when you got here, but doesn't allow for the genius that could be.
I'm just curious, like, how do you feel about like people becoming desensitized to like that energetic connection that we have with each other? Because I feel like unless you're in like an environment where you are in like a musical setting or like an art setting or even like a sports setting where you can feel the atmosphere, you know, you can feel the electricity in the air. Like, how do we really kind of hone that so we can really just connect on those deeper levels of the heart with people?
That is a good question. And I think different people do it differently. I mean, a slowing down has been what it's been for me. That helps. Yeah, just and for some, it just depends where they are and how they're being desensitized. Because sometimes, like I said, for me, the breakthrough was like the slowdown and the grounding. Some people who may have cut themselves off might find something as far as the expansion of energy and stepping out a little bit and connecting.
Ooh.
You know,
yeah,
just said, I don't, you know, yeah. So,
and that's the funniest thing right there is when we do put ourselves in that position where we do it and we just don't kind of hold ourselves back with that expectation. It's like, how many times have people, like, what is the saying? Like, you miss every shot you don't take. Like, right. How many times do people really like miss those opportunities that life's just like, in reality, neon light sign, like, go exactly. Right there. And you're just right. Like, no, I won't. I'll keep my head down.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is good to know that that's probably the case most of the time. To just, that's what, you know, helps keep me taking the next step, because it's like, oh, looking at what's so, sometimes it's like you can't see what's possible. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think it's funny because, you know, you mentioned that you're like, you're a Capricorn, I'm a Libra. And I find one of the things that, like,
this is your season.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the time from transformation, but it's also that, for me, it's always that reminder of, like, for me, I've always felt like my most important lesson, kind of like gift to the world, is bringing harmony and balance to people's life when they really want it. You know, because you can't force that stuff on people. If they want to tip the scale, they're going to tip the scale. And you're just going to be fighting on that seesaw if you're trying to go the other way with them. But it's like, I'm just all about that perfect harmony of that contraction and relaxation, that being and the doing. And I find that this is something that's really cool because, I mean, I meet people like you, I hear your stories, I hear your inspirations and insights, and it's like, oh, yo, like, this just levels me up and makes me stronger to maintain that harmony even more. It, like, how to listen to my own internal stuff. Like, everyone has those tensions, but it's really, you know, having an ear for it and being able to recognize and take that breath and that break. And just to really just marinate what you're doing, or as you said, to act if you need to.
I'm going
to
pop in.
Yeah.
What up? I'm back. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well, I was just feeling what Peter was putting down about how I'm leveling up here, and just looking at my notes here. I love what I do. I love it so much, and this is so much fun. I really feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose. And and my purpose, I've just kind of come to discovery, is to help people feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And but in order to transmit that, I got to feel better about myself. I can't give away something I don't have.
Right. Facts.
And so being producer, the reason why I love being a producer is I get to absorb all of this information on a regular basis. Like,
that's fun.
And so it is fun and it's enlightening and it's, I'm just blessed to have followed my bliss because as you said, there's so easy to get stopped on anything. We can look for reasons to get stopped for anything. Anything can stop us if we allow it to, right? Yeah. It's breaking through the obstacles that are perceived in our mind over what we can or cannot do. We have our own limitations. Mm-hmm. We set our own boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Landmark helped me expand my boundaries almost to a point where they're unpertainable. Like, I don't even know where my boundary is anymore.
I can.
It's infinite possibilities if you allow it.
Yeah.
Whew. And I would say the most important, I guess, I took away from this was the rest. When you said rest is important. We have a sister show called Live by Heart Today, in which they talk a lot about how important rest is for our nervous system. We have a sympathetic mode and we have a parasympathetic mode. And the sympathetic mode is when we're in the fight, flight, or freeze. And when we do that, our that's when we're in a stress mode. And, it's really hard to think straight in that moment when we're in that. And when we are in the parasympathetic mode, when we're in the relaxed state of mind, because the fight, flight, and freeze opposite is rest and digest. And we're in the rest and digest mode, everything's functioning properly. Everything's going smoothly. And not only that, we're able to think clearly, we're able to make, better decisions based upon what's actually happening versus what we perceive is happening.
And so even when we're resting, we can actually make decisions based on what we actually do want to have happen. Because when we're not resting, we're usually trying to our actions are based on what we hope doesn't happen.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of times when we're not rested, we're like really just playing not to lose instead of really playing to win.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, because you think about like, oh, I hope this doesn't happen right now. I don't have the energy for this. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. I don't
feel it's like, that. Well, let me hurry up and get this because if I don't, something bad will happen instead of an action grounded in what you want to have happen.
Yo, I love that. I love that. This is why I love this show, because it's like, it brings, I always say like, meditation is digestion for the soul, but even just hearing that it's that opposite with aligned with the rest, I'm like, and it's the being to the doing. I'm like,
yeah.
Another insight is that resting is an action word.
It sure is. It sure is. Yes, it is.
I love it.
And that's taken a little while for me to accept, because to me, resting is doing nothing, and that was my old state of mind. But I'm beginning to realize, resting is me planning my next move. It's me meditating and I would say even reflecting on, what's happened, where am I, where am I going? And so, and that's what meditation is, of course. Meditation is reflecting, right?
Yeah, two sides of the same coin.
But if we never take the time to stop and reflect, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Eating and never going to the bathroom, but just always eating.
Ouch. That does bring it home there. That does bring it home. That brings it home there.
And rest is not, I've also discovered rest is not sitting in front of the TV watching more drama.
Right. Ooh,
facts. Yeah. I love that.
So I would say that's an important takeaway for me, is a reminder of how important resting is for our soul.
Yeah.
And it's just like working out, like if I went to the gym every day, my muscles would never have time to heal. Yeah. Never have time to actually grow. They just constantly be torn down, constantly tearing down. Yeah. And it would actually be anti-productive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So before we end our show, are there any last comments for either one of you?
For me, just thank you for having me on this. This is super special that something like this exists, for people to just come and just be real with one another and just let it all hang out and just like have it all be allowable. Like this is, there's not enough of this for people to engage in, to, it's really special. Thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah. Real recognizes real. So always appreciate it, brother.
Like, Peter, you got any closing comments?
That's it right there. Like, real recognizes real. Like, the vibe is there. And I think I'm very excited for people to hear your wisdom on not only rest, but parenting and just the importance of the process of inner looking and just giving yourself what you need, not what someone's telling you. Yeah. So it's beautiful. Scott. Beautiful.
Thank you again, Darius, for being a part of Creative Chat. We look forward to your album coming out December 6th. His first single is being 26th. December 26th is his birthday. And Easy to Forget, his single is dropping October 19th. And for our viewers, as you find and connect to your deeper passions, Your dedication will lead to mastery, and your mastery will lead to success and satisfaction. Thank you for taking this journey with us. And until next week, have a happy always.
Oh, yeah.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. View more episodes on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible.